My friends, I think many times it's so easy to point a finger or condemn someone caught red-handed in a sinful act. Joining the mob of accusers in condemning that person also keeps us from self-examination and the possibility of repentance, because, as you know, it's certainly much easier to call attention to other people's shortcomings. The story of the woman caught in the act of committing adultery that we hear about in our gospel today is notable for several reasons, not the least of which is the total absence here of the man with whom she was caught. No one's picking up a stone to throw in his direction, wherever he may be. Adultery, according to Mosaic law, was considered among the gravest of sins, punishable by stoning. But the law of the Roman occupiers forbade the Jewish authorities to impose and carry out the death sentence on anyone. So Jesus' opponents want to use the occasion to embarrass Jesus into a no-win situation. Thus, the dilemma facing Jesus is this. If Jesus condemns the woman, he undermines his own teachings on forgiveness and puts him in conflict with the Roman authority. If he doesn't condemn her, he breaks faith with Mosaic law. So this particular woman who had been sexually exploited by a man is to be exploited again by the authorities as a weapon against Jesus. And when they bring the woman to Jesus, instead of standing up to his accusers and falling into their trap, Jesus bends over and writes on the ground. Now, we don't know for sure what Jesus wrote on the ground that day, but this little detail certainly adds a bit of suspense to the story. St. Jerome proposed that it was the sins of the accusers. Others suggest that Jesus was imitating Roman legal practice, where the judge first writes the sentence and then reads it aloud. Still, others suggest that Jesus is doodling while buying time as he ponders his response. But it was Jesus' spoken words that catches everyone off guard. Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Now Jesus had them over a barrel. The Pharisees and the scribes realize suddenly that they themselves are on trial, and one by one they slink away in shame. Maybe they got the message that Jesus' compassion for this woman was far more important than such a violent law. So they give up their challenge of Jesus, and in effect, the case against the woman is dismissed. Jesus then addresses the woman as a person, as someone worthy of his attention. Jesus forgives her and challenges her in so many words not to disgrace herself by committing this sin again. In other words, Jesus was saying that she should see herself as God sees her, a person with dignity who ought to act differently. They had shamed the woman, using her to trap Jesus. Instead, without minimizing her sinfulness, Jesus showed her the respect she deserved as a human being, treating her with love and compassion. Jesus didn't disregard the law because he urged her to sin no more. Clearly, Jesus valued repentance and conversion more than just reprisal. Jesus saw the person as so much more than the sin. And instead of condemning her for what she was, Jesus encouraged her to become something more and to center her life around what should be. But of course, the Pharisees and the scribes, like us so often, missed the point. Jesus treated this woman caught in adultery like Jesus treated everyone else. There was no distinction. The tax collector, the small child, the sick person, the rich, the poor, were all on the receiving end of Jesus' love and compassion and understanding. There was no one who fell outside his circle. And this woman standing in front of him was as deserving of love and compassion and the chance for growth and healing as anyone else who might come along. Similarly, in our own time and place, here and now, our local leaders sometimes facilitate a system that calls out and penalizes those who are poor and disadvantaged. But like Jesus, we are called to stand up for the ones society has left out, like the people who can't afford decent housing. The Nehemiah Action this coming Thursday, April the 11th, gives us that chance, all of us, to write in the sand, to call out the failure of our leaders when we see it, and to stand up for those condemned by society. Brothers and sisters, today Jesus challenged the people of his day to confront the reality of the situation that none of them was in a position to condemn this woman if they were really truthful with themselves. And the story of this woman caught in adultery is so familiar that it's easy to overlook its significance, not only for the woman expecting to be stoned to death, but for each of us expecting punishment for the times that we have sinned. And who among us hasn't at one time or another been caught doing something wrong? It might have been something as simple as being caught as a child with a hand in the cookie jar. But even then, there was something especially painful about being caught in the act, found out, discovered, exposed. We may not be waiting for a neighbor to throw a rock at us, but we remain crouched in fear and paralyzed by shame. Sometimes we don't even give God the chance to forgive us. We decide on our own that we are unworthy and deny ourselves the very same mercy that Jesus offers the woman caught in adultery. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, in his Angelus address this morning, said that this scene invites each one of us to realize that we are sinners and calls us to let fall from our hands the stones of denigration and condemnation, of gossiping that at times we would hurl against others. My friends, on this fifth Sunday of Lent, as we stand on the threshold of Holy Week, the Scriptures remind us that we can't stand self-righteously and condemn the lives of others when God is calling them tenderly to conversion. In our second reading today, St. Paul himself, a forgiven sinner, has been completely transformed by his faith in Christ Jesus. Paul regards himself as constantly striving to be ever more conformed by the pattern set by Christ in the Paschal mystery, and as hoping to enjoy fullness of eternal life with Christ. To anyone who is living with a painful past, to anyone who struggles with remorse and regret, to those who feel that they have done something unforgivable, take heart. We can begin again, given new hope. We can take another road. We can make another choice. Brothers and sisters, may Paul's thoughts be ours as we observe these final weeks of Lent. Amen.